Eliezer. Can anyone summarize them for me? Quick summary. Why is Gerushin Chutz L'Ploni Kasher? After all, you're violating the Krisus doctrine. One approach? Noam? The Krisus limitation applies only to the Maisa, the method of delivery. For some reason, the method of delivering a get has to be definitive, clarifying, absolute. Ayin Ches. When it comes to shaping or limiting the scope of the impact, which we call chalos, there's no problem of krisis. Said in classic yeshiva language, krisis is a chisaron in the maisa. Is nishta chisaron in the chalos? Nish means it's not. It's very important that you not get caught in terminology, but it's also important that you know the terminology. Remember, there was a Rebbe in YU who used to give a shiur that he wanted to be crystal clear. Long, you don't know his name, it was a long time ago. Crystal clear, and he avoided all terminology. And he would say, it's a force here, and a force there, and a jet here, and an energy there, and a star, and a vector, and a trajectory, and an angle. Because he really wanted to be crystal clear in a very sharp language. So I was a Talmud of Rabbi Lichtenstein, and I learned extensively when I was in YU with Talmid of Rabbi Schechter. And the methodologies were a little bit different. Some of them today are big Rosh Yeshivas, or by Sabalovsky, or by Simon. That was my group, that was my posse. And even though our methodologies were different, when we sat and learned together, or we gave each other shiurim in the upper kolos, when we would give shiurim, we ended up with more or less the same conclusions, the same ideas. The methodologies were different. Rabbi Schechter's Talmidim were encouraged to do a lot of reading of what others had said. Rabbi Lichtenstein had encouraged us to build our own models. But essentially, we were operating within the same constellation of ideas. And then when Talmidim of this Rebbe would give shiur, I remember walking out of shiur and turning to Rabbi Sabalovsky and saying, did you understand what he just said? He said, I don't know what he's talking about. Because they didn't have the classic terms. They were just using their own terms, which made sense, but they paid a price for sharing. They could, because of clarity, they can no longer share the Torah. So it's important for me that you know both what something means, but also how it's referred to by and large in Sfarim. So is krisus chisaron only in the Maisa or even in the Chalos? If you try to reshape krisus in the Chalos, is there a problem? Maybe Rabbi Elazar says, no, you need krisus in the Maisa. But you don't increase this in the impact of the chalos. What's the other approach? Not that Rabbi Elazar limits krisus as a chisaron in the maisa, but not the chalos. It's a chisaron even in the chalos, as evidenced by what Gemara? Pebeis. Hayom. What's the Gemara Pebeis? Let's get some of these languages down pat. Hayom. Iadishti. Namachar Adishti. What's the Gemara's maskana? Kiv Nepaska Paska. Who argues? Who says it's a get puzzle? And the Meiri. So evidently Rabbi Elazar holds that chisaron krisus is a chisaron even in the chalos. So why is chutz miploni kasher? What's the other approach, Avi? Right. Because the gerushin accomplishes two tasks: heter ishus, bittel ishus, and heter ishus ish. And krisus only governs the bittel ishus. The bittel ishus has to be conclusive. Therefore, you can't limit it in its duration. Pei beis. But the heter ishus ish can be limited, and when you say chutz miploni, you're not limiting the bittel ishus. And Rabbi Elazar is not a chiddush in the application of krisus, it's more a chiddush in the dynamics of gerushin, or the dynamics of kiddushin. Whether the heter ishus ish is part of the bittel ishus or an autonomous element. It's an autonomous element. It's not like she's an ishus ish shali. She's an ishus ish, like basar b'chalav, right? Would you say, Mark, that if you put meat and milk together, it's basar b'chalav shall Mark? No, it's basar b'chalav. You just happen. It's not, the isra has nothing to do with the author. If you shecht an animal, Yaakov, and you're a bad shelcha, and it becomes a nevela, is it nevela of Yaakov, and there are differences between, it's nevela. There's a reality that's objective that has nothing to do with you or me. What about Eishas Ish? Is Eishas Ish some objective, generic isra unrelated to the bittul ishus? And when I divorce my wife, I have to remove each of them independently? Or is the Isser Ashes Ish something which stems from the Ishus? She's Ashes Ish, Shel Ruvain. Ashes Ish, you can't have an objective status of Ashes Ish. It's unlike Basar B'chalav. We're digging deeply to the core of halachic labels. What is this label? Is it a Basar B'chalav label? Or it's different. It's not Basar B'chalav. It's not objective Basar B'chalav, Nevela. It's Ashes Ish. Shall Ruvain, and by allowing her to remain Usser to Ploni, she's still Eshto Shall Ruvain. The Isser Ashes Ish, which remains on Ploni, is still a residue of her Ishus to Ruvain, her original husband. So we'll start today a little bit backwards. I know I had you see Rav Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Eliezer. We'll get to it. What we're going to do is as follows. What did the Chachamim respond? What's the Rabbanan's response? Let's take a quick look at that. It's obvious to you what they could respond. How does this affect Kiddushin and Kiddushin's relationship to Hekdesh, which may be very similar? How does this affect the manner of releasing a woman in get and ultimately when the husband dies? And then we'll get back finally to the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Masavrim Rabbanan. Lama Rabbanan poslim et haget hazeh. Harei l'Rabbi Eliezer yesh nekuda nechona. Heara tova. So it depends how you understand Rabbi Eliezer. If Rabbi Eliezer, come on, Noam feels that Croesus is limited only to the Maisa, and that's why he's Machshir Chusliploni, model A of Rabbi Eliezer. So what's the Rabbanan's response? Right. It's not just limited to the delivery mechanism, but Croesus governs the Chalos. And then basically Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbanan, and the Kudas HaMachlokas is whether Croesus, Sefer Croesus, shapes the get and the Maisa in Asina, or also shapes the Chalos. When the Torah writes Sefer Croesus, is it telling you what type of document to write and how to deliver it? Or also how far to spread the chalos, even though normally we all know that a person can limit chalos. Shmuel, what do we call, what's the tool to limit a chalos in halacha typically? Tanai. I can shape the chalos in new fashions. I'll say, I'm selling you this field only if the Cubs ever win a game again. May not happen, right? Cubs are bad this year, right? They're good. Average. I can limit, and there are other ways to limit a chalos, not just a Tanai. There's something called a shiur. I can limit a chalos from where it begins. Obviously, there are many, many different ways to limit chalos. And the Torah, according to Rabbani, says, yes, but by Gerushin, you can't limit the chalos. It's usher to limit the chalos. You can't, because that would be a flaw on Croesus. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it only defines the way that you're divorcing her, the type of book you're using, the type of document, the type of delivery. So that's the machlokus, how to define the parameters of Croesus. Or model B, according to Rabbi Eliezer. If Rabbi Eliezer says, no, I agree that Croesus applies not just to the book and to the delivery mechanism, but it applies to the chalos, but it only applies to the ishus. And the heter of ishus ish has nothing to do with the ishus. The fact that she's usher is not in any way a residue or vestige of my ishus. She just happens to be usher to Ploni because you didn't remove her heter from Ploni. You removed her heter from everyone else. What would the Rabbanan say to that? Very good. Rabbanan most probably would claim, you're wrong. You've got the map of Ishus, and of course, the way that Ishus is dismantled through Gerushin, you've got it wrong, Rabbi Eliezer. You feel that the Ishus-ish is completely autonomous, it's completely generic, it's completely objective, it has nothing to do with Ishus, and the fact that she remains Aser to Ploni is in no way a vestige of the original Ishus to Reuven, you're wrong. There is no such thing called Ishus-ish. There's something called Basar B'chalav, there's something called Nevela, there's something called Mitzara. You can list all these objective, independent, autonomous statuses, but the Isser of Ishus Ish stems from the Ishus. She's Usser because she's your wife, and that trickles down and creates an Isser to Yoni and to Elad and to Stephen and to me. And to, she's Ishto, there's other things. She's Ishus Reyehu, the language of the Torah, not just Ishus Ish. There's no phrase in the Torah Ishus Ish, in fact. It's Ishus Reyehu. She belongs to someone, and that triggers the Isser. It's dependent. It's reliant. And by not removing that Isser to Ploni, there's still a vestige of Ishus Riyah. There's still a vestige of your marriage, and you have failed to create Croesus. And therefore, the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, model B according to Rabbi Eliezer, is not about Croesus, but about how we define the map of Ishus. Which is a more global machlokas, model A or model B? Model A, the machlokas is about? One word. Model B, the machlokas is about? Ishus. Which is broader? Model B. Yeah. They're basically giving us two different treatises, two different reflections, two different roadmaps of Ishus. What is Ishus? What's the relationship between these two factors in Ishus? Between the relationship, which we call the Ishus, and the Ishus-ish. What's the relationship between those two? That's a very, very global question. And as a global question, you'd expect it to appear in other conversations, Yosef, about Ishus, unrelated to Gerushin and Croesus, which is our starting point for today's year. If there's a small, contained machlokas about Croesus, whether krisus applies only to the delivery maisa or also to the halas. Okay, we'll maybe find some other gemaras and get an ayin ches pegimol, maybe some other gemaras. But if the machlokas Reb Eliezer and the Chachamim is, what is the interaction between the ishus and the iser ishus ish? Is the iser ishus ish autonomous, or is it a function, it's triggered, it's dependent upon the ishus? Then that could have real global ripple effects far beyond how to deliver a get, chutz l'ploni. And in theory, it would impact the correspondence between not just Gittin and other areas, but even Kiddushin. Because if you're describing Ishus, then you may also be describing how to create Ishus, not just how to dismantle Ishus. Theoretically, questions that you arrive at based on how to dismantle Ishus, namely Get, would also reflect Ishus and would also impact how you create Ishus. Namely, can anyone finish the sentence? If the status of Ishus Ish and the status of Ishus are independent, then
Kiddushin needs two separate components,
right? Whereas if the Isser Ashus Ish is dependent on the Ishus, and as Kobe said, it emerges from the Ishus, then Kiddushin may be one factor. Anyone learn Kiddushin? Okay, a lot of Kiddushin people here. What about Kiddushin makes it sound like it's multifunctional? What does it have that your average bear doesn't have? Your average yogi bear. Yes, I'm dating myself. Yogi bear, just your average Kenyan doesn't have. What additional element does Kiddushin have, Shlomi?
So there's two steps.
Okay, Erison and Isuin. That's true, two different times. But even Erison, what does it have? Even more micro precise. What else does Arison have? To marry a woman, what do you have to do beyond your regular kinyan? What do we call that, Akiva?
Yes, I agree.
Okay, it's bilateral, but or kinyanim are also bilateral. It's supposed to get the ad man out here. So that, right? But what has to happen in Kiddushin? Mark? There's not just a Maisa kinyan, there's also an Amira. Hare at mekudeshesli bitabasu kinas Moshe v'Yisrael. You don't need an Amira for a Kenyan, assuming both parties know what's going on. Does that reflect the fact that essentially a Kiddushin executioner or performer has to independently operate on two levels? He has to create an Ishus, and he has to create an Isser, and therefore he may need two steps without getting into the nitty-gritty details of Amira. But everyone who learns Kiddushin goes through Daf Hei and wants to know whether Amira, can anyone finish that line, is a essential part of the Maisa Kiddushin or only clarification. Anyone who's learned Kiddushin from Lamdas has seen that sugya. So all of a sudden, this machlokas between Reb Eliezer and the Chachamim in Gerushin, in Meseches Gittin, Perek Daf Pei Beis, Pei Gimel, becomes a really, really important statement about the anatomy of marriage and about how we compare marriages to other and what third area, what other area would we like to compare marriage to? What other area has two components to it, a relationship-based component and some other aspect that prohibits? And like Kiddushin, we want to know what the interaction between the two is. What would we call that other area? Not marriage, but, Mark?
Yibum
is an extension of marriage, close. What other area you saw in your Makaros? Are Chazal really interested in gauging the correspondence to Kiddushin along these lines? Kobe?
Hektish,
excellent. Hektish is also one of those interesting halachic institutions where you create a relationship, in this case, not between you and the item, but between, what's the relationship you're creating? What's the association between the item and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're being Makdish to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on Mikdash. So you're creating a relationship. But that relationship creates another reality, ownership by Hekdesh. They can invest it, they can sell it. You can't take it. What do we call if you take something from Hekdesh that you don't own? Mila. It's a special form of gazela. So you've got on the one hand a relationship, and on the other hand you've got monetary consequences of that relationship. It's not just Hashem's. There are parts of that halacha that have nothing to do with money. If you're a Makdesh Behema, you have to eat it at a certain time. You can't You can't take it out of Yerushalayim. So there are certain parts of the halachas of a carbon that have nothing to do with money and who owns it. It has to do with the fact that it's a carbon. Then there are other aspects that have to do with its monetary. Is the monetary component of hekdesh independent? And when a person's makdesh, he does both. Or is the monetary component of hekdesh something which stems from the same hekdesh? Now, you may ask yourself, why am I dragging you into the world of hekdesh? I'm just giving you a yeoman's definition so you can understand the Gemara Nedarim. Because two Amorayim were discussing this very question. Whether you can determine laws of hekdesh based on realities of kedushin, or whether they're two separate, and just because kedushin has a certain reality doesn't mean hekdesh would have that reality. Who are these two Amorayim? Rav Hamnuna and Rava. Well, there were about five Rav Hamnuna, so you always have to know which Rav Hamnuna was being addressed by the Gemara. But who was Rava? Rava, there was only one Rava. Do you know anything about Rava? Okay, so let's start from the beginning. When did he live? End of the 3rd century, beginning of the 4th century. Who were his Rebbeim? Rava, Rav Chisda, and Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef was the older Rava. If you knew Rabbi Yosef, that was... It's always true. It's very often true in the days of Tanaim and Amorayim that there was multi-generational interactions. You had your primary Rebbe, but you had more street cred if you knew that, like, my Rebbe was Rav Lichtenstein, but I sat for a little bit by Rav Soloveitchik. So my Rebbe, Rav would say, was Rabbi Chia, but I also learned it to be Danasi. Or I also learned it to be Yochanan ben Zakkai. You went back two generations. You had that other Rebbe. So, double Rebbeim. So, Rabba's primary Rebbeim were Rabba and Rav Nachman, but he also learned by Rabbi Yosef. So we already saw Rabba asking Rav Nachman on Pei Dalet, Pei Hey, this whole question, why to write, how to write again. Okay? I'm sorry, he asked the question, Yom HaDishti V'machi HaDishti. Where did Rabba live? Which town was Rabba? Mechoza. Mechoza was near the Tigris River. So you can imagine these ancient towns right along the river. And when Abaye was Nifter, the yeshiva of Pumbedisa moved to Mechoza, and there was a movement. Pumbedisa was no longer the central area. It moved to Mechoza. Abaye, of course, was his primary Mechoza. The people that he trained, Rav's Talmidim, were primarily your Papa, Rafuna, so that's more or less how you evolve from Rav and Shmuel teach Rabbi Yosef. They teach Rava. Rava teaches Abaye and Rava. Rava teaches Rafuna, Papa. And then Ravashi and Avinu Ravashi, about five generations of Amorayim. Who do we passing like? Rav and Abaye? Except for? Okay. Yud. Yesh Lamidas, very good. Ayin. Edim Zavimim. Lamid. Lechi Omid Al Gavmi Gavav. Good. Kuf. Kiddushin She'inam Misirim Labia. Let's say a man marries his wife on the condition they won't have Bia. Very interesting question about whether you need ishus in a kiddushin. A little bit relevant to today's issue. Can you just make her usser without making her mukher, without creating a relationship? Kiddushin nun aleph. Gimel. Also a gittin question. Lamed dalad. Lamed beis. Giloi das. If a man makes a shliach to divorce his wife and then he says he should no longer be a shliach, does he have to have a formal rescinding of that shlichus, or he just giloi das? Abaye Rava. Okay. Mem. Mumer ochel. Nevelos is a person who is not a rebel, but a person who just has a weak craving for cheeseburgers. Is that person pasaliedos? The person is a rebel is called a Rasha. You know, it'll be an eight. This person not a Rasha, he has a Yetzihara. I know many people that have a Yetzihara, present company included. Should it be pasaliedos? So murmur ochel nevelos is a kashaliedos, a pasaliedos. These are the six times we pass like Abaye when he frontally argues with Rava. Rava was the first person, maybe one of the only people, to actually make a golem. Rava had a book called Sefer HaYetzira. The person who never made a golem was the Maharal Miprag. It was a bedtime story told to children in the early part of the 20th century. And a great, great tourist trap for the city of Prague. You can get golem keychains and golem dolls and order the golem burger and whatever. But it never happened. Science has proven, history has proven, there are stories, it never happened, but Rava made a golem, and Reb Zera sent the golem and said, go, we don't need you, and he went back to the ground. So Rava had mystical powers. So Rava and Rav Hamnuna in Nidarim Chaftes Amud Aleph have the following debate. So let's open our Nedarim Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, because you all bring Gemaras that are on the source sheets to share, right? I'm hearing all those Gemaras opening up. Good lesson. Come on, we really want to read these Gemaras inside. Okay, I will WhatsApp you just because I'm a kind Rebbe and I'm a tired Rebbe. But I will WhatsApp you, but please, please, seriously, try to bring all these Gemaras to share. And, okay? Let me WhatsApp you here. Okay, who can give me the background? What's the halacha and the Mishnah that Rav Hamnuna and Rava are operating under? What does the Mishnah talk about? Start me off. Right. So who has an intriguing shita that then yields a machlokas with Hamnun and Rava? Who's shita? Ula. What's Ula shita? That once you cut them down, that's it. They're no longer hektish. You can't be pulled and you can use them. Okay, there's a machlokas. Some say you have to always be pulled to them. Every day you want to use them. But Ula says once the trees are cut, it's no longer hektish. So Rav Hamnuna asks the following question. How can something just mysteriously and automatically dissipate? How could Hekdesh just miraculously disappear? Shmuel Kohen was Makdish's trees, and then they were cut down, and then Hekdesh, the status, just evaporates. Daf Chav Tesam and Aleph. You have it on your WhatsApp. Amalei Rav Hamnuna. Kedusha Shebohen Lehechon Holcha. Very, very existential question. Where did the Kedusha go? Now, that question is a standalone question. You could ask that question if you're learning Maseches Vachim or Maseches Me'ila. I mentioned yesterday the legacy of the Rosh Yeshiva. One of the legacies of this yeshiva is that Rav Lichtenstein was makbid to give shiurim, not just on Nashim, Nezikim, and Moed, but high-level Iyun shiurim in Kutchim. He had a Kutchim Chabura that would meet once or twice a week. He would give shiurim in Me'ila, Shirim and Krisos, in the upper kolos, we still in Zvachim and Menachos. He would give a series of Shirim across 3-4 years, every Shabbos afternoon in Zrayim. He'd take us through Trumos and Maizros and Shvias and Arla and Kilei HaKerem. These places that most people don't really learn, and when they learn Bibikias. You don't really get into it. But Rav Aaron was very, very makbid, very thorough, very rigorous. He took us through, and we still have that today. What's the kolos of all learning this year? I think Yivamos, or anyone know? The Kol HaGavoah typically learns Yevamos, Vachim, Menachos, Nazir, Vodazara, all the Masechtas that people rarely learn. So this is a good question if you're in a Kutchim Shir. Can Hekdesh just dissipate? Interesting question. Not our topic. What is our topic? Rev Hamnuna's proof that Hekdesh can't dissipate. What's Rev Hamnuna's proof? I'll prove to you that Hekdesh can't just mysteriously, automatically disappear into the... It can't vanish into thin air. Because what else can't vanish into thin air? Kedusha. Ma'ilu amar lisha. This is different from Pei Beis. But look at the second line. If a man tells a woman, not at the point of gerushin. Pei Beis, which we saw yesterday, Pei Gimel, was a man that says, I'm divorcing you today, but tomorrow you should be my wife. Nedarim Chavtes is discussing a man that is Mekadeshu and says, I want you to be my wife tomorrow, not the next day. He creates vanishing Kiddushin. Ma'ilu amr li'isha, hayom atishti, the opposite, not hayom i'atishti v'lamachar atishti, hayom atishti, I'm marrying you, av'lamachar i'atishti. Disappearing ink. Vanishing ishus. Would anyone think that that could happen? So just like ishus can't vanish, Hekdesh can't vanish, and if Hekdesh can't vanish, then it's still owned by Hekdesh, and you have to be podet before you use it, before you eat it, or use it for firewood. And how could Ula say, you don't have to be podet after it's cut down? That's what interests me right now. We're not learning Hekdesh, we're learning Gittin, Kiddushin. And Rav Hamnuna, is it comparing Hekdesh and Ishus, or disassociating them? What's he doing? Comparing. His premise is that just like Ishus can't vanish, Hekdesh can vanish. Just like in Ishus, she remains Usur, and the Ishus is still there. Similarly, in Hekdesh, the items remain the possession of Hekdesh, and you can't just use them without an act to release it. Pidyon, Pidya. Uma'ilu Amar Li'isha. Hayom at ishti, lomachar iat ishti. Mi nafke below get. If she can't leave without a get, then you can't use the trees without pidyon. What's Rava's response? Amale Rava. Mikam medamis kedushas damim lekedushas guf. You can compare monetary restraints to actual body restraint. They're not body, but personal restraints. Kedushas damim paka bichdi. If the status of Hekdesh vanishes, then the Kedushas Damim will vanish with it. Kedushas Guf, lo paka bichdi. But the Isser of the woman won't just vanish when the Ishus vanishes. Who sounds more like Rebbe Eliezer? Who sounds more like the Rabbanan? What's the relationship between this machlokas or this conversation in Nedarim between Rava and Rav Hamnuna about Hekdesh and our conversation in Gittin, Pei Gimel, about Gerish and Chutz Miploni? Eitan, what do you think?
Rava seems to agree with Rav
Eliezer. At least his theory.
Yeah.
He may not buy into Rav Eliezer's Shita,
right,
but he certainly agrees with his mapping at a very theoretical level. What does he feel?
Feels that Ishut and Isurei and Isha are separate categories.
And therefore, that accounts for the inability to create vanishing issues. Even though you can say the relationship will expire in a day, what will still remain? The Isuracious Ish. What does he call the Isuracious Ish? What's the language? Ishazagov. Whereas by Hekdesh, if I create an expiration date for the Shem Hekdesh, what will also be cancelled? The monetary belonging. What does he call that? Not Kedushas Aguf, but
Kedushas Damim.
Namely, Kedushas Damim is dependent upon the status of Hekdesh, but Kedushas Guf, or what we're calling Eishas Ish, is independent. So therefore, if I tell my wife, you're married for me today, but tomorrow I want that Ishus to disappear, okay, you won't have Ishus tomorrow, but what will you still have? Isra Ishus Ish, because that is not dependent upon the Ishus. Whereas in Hekdesh, there is an interdependency that doesn't exist by Kiddush. Hekdesh, to draw it on the board, has two elements. Has Damim and Shem Hekdesh. This is Hekdesh. Kiddushin also has two elements. There's Isser Ashes Ish, and there's Shem Ishus. But Rava claims that unlike Hekdesh, in which the Damim is dependent upon the Shem Hekdesh, the Isser Ashes Ish is independent. So therefore, even though you're right, if a man says, we're married today but not married tomorrow, I want the Shem Ishus to be canceled tomorrow, the Isser Ashes Ish will still remain. That's why you can't do it. You can do it, but she still can't marry anyone. Whereas by Hekdesh, you are able to, and therefore Rava is supporting Ula. Don't attack Ula based on your preconceived notions of Kiddushin. In Kiddushin, this arrangement of vanishing Yisurim won't wash. Maybe it will wash by Hekdesh. By Hekdesh, you can schedule a timeline in which the Hekdesh, the Shem Hekdesh, exists until the point of Ketzitza, until you cut down the trees. That's how you programmed it. And once the Shem Hekdesh disappears, the Damim will also disappear. But by Kiddushin, you can't do that. And you, Rav Hamnuna, wanted to prove that since you can't do it by Kiddushin, you can't do it by Hekdesh, they're not the same. You can't do it by Kiddushin because that other element remains independent of the Shem Hekdesh, the Shem Ishus. And that's Rava's way of saying, Shani, read it again. Amale Rava, Mika Medamis, Kedushas Damim, that second component of Hekdesh, LeKedushas Haguf. Kedushas Damim, Paka Bechdi. Kedushas Damim is dependent upon the status of Hekdesh, which you have scheduled to expire after a day. When the Hekdesh expires, the Damim expires. Kedushas Haguf, Lo Paka Bechdi. This may be, Eitan, the most glaring statement of the independence of the Isser Eishes Ish in all of Shas. This may be what Rebbe Eliezer was thinking about. Of course, he lived way before Rava. But I'm sure he heard this conversation. Rabbi didn't make up this conversation. It had been discussed for hundreds of years in the Beis Medrash. But in the back of Rabbi Eliezer's head may have been this assumption that Kedushas Guf Lo Paka B'chdi, or to say it differently, who did Rabbi Eliezer, or who is the person that most deeply agrees with Rabbi Eliezer? Rava or Ula? By Ula saying that Hekdesh can just disappear into thin air, and we all know that Kedushin can't, Ula was in his mind making a distinction, at least in the way Rav explained him, between the two components of Hekdesh, which are interdependent, and once the Hekdesh ends, the Damim ends, and the two components of Ishus, which are autonomous, and just because the Ishus ends doesn't mean that the Isra Ishus Ish will end. So by describing, I'll get to your question at once, by describing this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbana as a global machlokas, it can then be stretched and paralleled in questions that have nothing to do with Gerushin. Has anyone seen the word Gerushin mentioned in the Dharam? I'm not talking about Gerushin, I'm talking about a man who schedules the Kedushin to end after one day. He pre-curtails the Kedushin. And everyone knows that won't work. But why won't it work? Rava said it won't work in Rava's mind because the Eishas Ish has nothing to do with the Shem Ishas. And even though you can curtail the Shem Ishas, the Shem Eishas Ish will remain. And Hekdesh is different, and therefore don't borrow from one to the other. Mark.
And you could also, if you don't know, Rava saying the issue is the Paka Bechdi, like automatically, it's obvious according to the Rabbana, just that by Kedushin you need, to undo Kedushin you need a Maase of the Get. The Get functions as a Maase to undo the Isser, so the Rabbana could still read this just fine.
Absolutely. But you'd expect different language. If Rava were adopting that type of logic, his language would be a little different. Maybe you can fit it into this language.
I mean, I see Paka Bechdi as saying, with Hekdesh, it got Tznai is already enough to remove Kedusha, but the Torah gave us an institution of, you need a Maase
right.
to remove Kedusha.
Right. You'd expect the word Maase, and we'll get to that in a moment. It's a very good extension. But this a contrast between Kedusha's Damim versus Kedusha's Guf sounds like we're assessing the constituent components of Hekdesh versus the constituent components of Kedusha and how they interact with the status, not rather than the lack of an action or the presence of an action. I'm completely agreeing with your Svara. But you'd expect Rava's language to be a little different, which is why so many people see the core of Rabbi Eliezer's language. Now, what you really mean to say, Martin, not what you mean to say, but what could be said is, even though you take Rava's idea of their interdependence, doesn't mean you have to accept Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer still may be extreme. Okay, they're independent, but you still need creases in both. You still need a full scope of a heter in both. Who says that creases only applies to the Ishus? Maybe it applies to the Ishus Ish as well, and you've got to completely eliminate any Ishus Ish, is there?
I'm saying you don't even need Rava say there. They're not, you can still read those
being
independent on each
other. Absolutely, absolutely. Yes,
Rafa. Yes, so I'm not really understanding the analogy. Are we saying that the Shem Hekdesh on the object is analogous to the Isser, Ishus Ish?
No, the Shem Hekdesh is analogous to the Ishus, a relationship. Hekdesh is the relationship between the item and Hashem. Ishus is the relationship between the person and the wife. And they both affect not just creating a relationship, but also creating Isurim. People can't take Hekdesh because it belongs to Hekdesh. People can't take the wife because she's an Ishus Ish.
Wouldn't that be more analogous to Isser Ishus Ish?
Right. The Damim is analogous to the Isser Ishus Ish, or the Damim is analogous to Kedushas Agav.
But either way, it says you don't need a Maase to
do it. Well, that's what Mark was saying. Rav is assuming you don't need a Maase, which we'll talk about in a few moments. But Rav is saying the cancellation, or the disappearance, the dissolution of the Hekdesh will lead to the cancellation of the Damim. But the dissolution of the Ishus won't necessarily lead to the Ishus Ish, which is why this won't work, but this still may work. He's trying to create contrast between the two. Mark's right. Right. Mark's saying you need a Maase to do both. But Rava is not arguing, if I'm right, Rava is not arguing at that point. Rava is saying, even if I grant you the fact you don't need a Maase, and I just can create a disappearing Ishus, the disappearing Ishus won't affect the Ishus Ish. The disappearing Hekdesh will affect the Dhamma. Again, Rav is not posking like that. He's just disarming Rav Luna's Raya. Rav Luna wanted to ask on Ula, if Ishus that can't work, and this can't work, we're saying there's one point that's only, there may be other points that's dichotomous, but this is the point that Rav is highlighting. That just because disappearing Hekdesh removes the Damim doesn't mean that disappearing Ishus removes the Isser Ishus Ish, because the two are independent. Okay, which Gemara that you saw appears to compare Kedushin to Hekdesh? We just saw Rava driving a wedge between the two. Come on, this is easy. High school guys. Which Gemara seems to compare Kedushin to Hekdesh?
Well,
Avi. Kiddushin Beisim Beis. What aspect is the Gemara in Kiddushin Beisim Beis exploring? Well, what's the context?
Why it says the Ishkona.
Right. The Mishnah says Isha Niknes, and the Brai says Ishkona. But there's another language for marrying a woman. Not in the first parak, but in the... Okay, that was an easy one. Not the language of Isha Niknes, but the language of Haish Mekadesh. Anyone know the conclusion of that Mishnah? Haish Mekadesh? Bo Uvishlucho. Let me teach you a song. I hear not just to teach you some Torah, but some song. It's your Pesach song. Rav Amital taught us this song. Echad mi yodeya. They used to sing this in Europe. Echad ani yodeya. And you had to name a parak in Shas, which begins with the word Echad. Tosos knew Shas so well that when they quote Prakim in Shas, they don't say parak Aleph of Ksivos. He says Beperak Hapsula, Perak Haisha, Perak Haish, right? And Tosos quotes Prakim, it's like on a first name basis. I'm not going to say, oh, the third boy in the seat. Stephen, Yossi, Akiva. Tosos knew the more or less 600 Prakim in Shas on a first name basis. How well do you know Shas? So does anyone know a parak which begins with the word Echad? There's a cheat sheet. Anyone know what the cheat sheet is?
The back of
Brachos. The back of Brachos. So if you're ever forced to like face the music, literally, just... Echad dine mamnas. Echad dine nefashos. Third parak of Sanhedrin. Okay, let's give you an easy one. Shnayim mi. Okay, shlosh mi. Okay, now we're getting some traction here. Arba's easy. Arba. Okay. Chamisha mi yodeya, chamisha mi yodeya. It's Pesach night. Your grandmother's trying to get to sleep. Crazy Uncle Harry's making faces at the little kids. And as they start singing Echa mi yodeya, and you pipe in with Prakim and Shaz, he says, I sent you to Gushti, ruin our Pesach. I'm going to sing some nice Pesach songs. Menashevitz matzah and some of those, you know, half moon jellies. You're ruining our Pesach with all this lumdas. The first parak of Maseches Trumos, Chamisha Shetarmu, Ain Truma San Truma. Five people who can't bring Truma. So I'll let you find, this is your homework for Shabbos, where it ends. At what number is there no longer a parak in Shas that corresponds to that number? That's your homework for Shabbos. Okay. Not during davening, but maybe during Chazaras HaShas. Tar and Tefillah, the overlap. Not during Kriya Shema. It's Kriya Shema, correct? But then it ends. Okay. So, what are we talking about? Right, Ha'ish Mekadesh. Marin Kiddushin wants to know why Chazal called marriage Kiddushin. Torah doesn't call marriage Kiddushin. Torah calls marriage Ki Yikach. Ki Chakicha Mistei Ephraim. Monetary. What are Chazal trying to accomplish by making up this word Kiddushin? So what does the Gemara say? Beizim and Beizim. Anyone remember the phrase? Very strange phrase. Yaakov. The Asar La Akuli Alma Kehektish. Whoa. There's a little problem here. When a person makes something hektish, you don't make something Asar. You make something hektish, and as a result, it becomes Asar. What's the language of your Makdish an animal? You say, I want this animal to be Asar to everyone in the world? What do you do when you make something hektish? Make it hektish. And then as an outgrowth, as a consequence, it becomes us and everyone in the world becomes a hektish, as we said in the Darim, as Rava said, that the Isser stems from the status, from the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are you doing in Kiddushin? Where it makes it sound like you're doing the exact same thing in hektish.
It says Keh.
Okay, so very good point. Let's see what Tosva says. Let's go to the tape. Let's read Tosos out of order. Let's read the second Pshat in Tosos before the first. But this is what's bothering Tosos. The Hektish, it's the same conversation that's bothering Tosos, was the same conversation of which two Amorayim? Rav and Rav Nuna. And in theory, in a very abstract way, which two Tanayim? Rav Elias and the Ramban. It's all the same conversation. You see how when you abstract your concepts, they get global relevance. Why are we learning a Tosas in Kiddushin? Why are we talking about Hekdesh? Because Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbana may just be our entry point into a deeper truth about how we view Kiddushin through their machlokas about how to dismantle Kiddushin. Tosfos, base in the base. I don't hear too many Gemaras cracking open. Let's go to the WhatsApp. It's an important Tosas to see. Who wants to read the second answer in Tosas? Who has a Kiddushin or has a WhatsApp and is brave enough to read the second answer? Upashtas de Milsa. Anyone? Anyone see Tosas? No, I'm reads from Upashtas de Milsa. Right, so Pashtas is that what are you doing in Kiddushin? What are you directly affecting? The Isser or the relationship? You say Mikudeshes, Mizumenes, Miuchedes. Now Tosas has a kasha. Go on. So if you're creating a relationship with a wife, why can't you create a relationship with a piece of clothing? Say, Harei HaBegezeh Mikudeshli. So what is Tosas' answer? Okay, so what is Tosfos to say? Why can't you use the lashon of kiddushin for a piece of bread? Great, I'm married to this bread. And can anyone tell me the content of what he says? But and then we'll discuss the language. Why can't I marry bread? Why can't I say it's like I'm marrying a woman, marrying bread, Tani?
And even if you own the bread, it's not exclusive to you.
Right, there's no halachic mechanism for exclusive use on the bread. Aside from Gzela, but that's something else. There is a halachic institution called a woman who's usher to other people because she's married to me. So therefore I can, through that relationship, create the isser. But there is no corresponding isser for other people to... You're not going to consider an adulterer by eating my bread. Or an adulterer by wearing my clothing. Maybe it's a thief, but that's a separate halach. But what's the punchline in Tosfos? Does it sound like the Isra'ishas Ish is dependent or autonomous on the status? Read that language, Shmuel. Read it for me. Read the five words, the six words. Bema de misyachedes lihos lo neseres l'cholet. Wow, this is one of the most famous Tosas in Shas. Bema she misyachedes lihos lo he neseres. Do you think Rabbi Elazar is smiling when he reads this Tosas? I don't think so. Do you think Rava is smiling when he reads this Tosas? Well, at least the Rava part that disagreed with him, Nuna. I don't think so. Anyone that believes that the Isra'ishas Ish is autonomous would not be happy saying the Masha Misyachad is slow Nazaris. But you know what? The Gemara says it because Kopia compares it to Hekdesh, and it's exactly the structure of Hekdesh. You create Misyachadas, and then the Isra comes. And Tosas in the second shot is maintaining the direct comparison between Kiddushin and Hekdesh. Just like by Hekdesh, Masha Misyachad is Loshamayim Nazaris Lakol, Ishus Masha Misyachad is slow Nazaris Lakol. So the second shot in Tosas appears to argue on the doctrine of autonomy. He appears to connect the Isser to the Ishus. He appears to disagree with at least Model B and Rabbi Eliezer. No?
Why is this a problem for Rabbi Eliezer? It seems to be a riot.
No, it sounds like the Isser comes from the Ishus.
So if you cut up the Ishus, then you cut up everything.
Right, but if you limit the Isra'ishas Ish or the Heter'ishas Ish, there's a residue of Ishus because it's reflective of the Ishus. If she's mutter to everyone, chutz mi ploni. So that Isser of ploni is a residue not just of an Isser, but it's a residue of the Ishus because it's the Ishus that determines the Isser. Maybe I didn't make that point clear enough. Rabbi Elazar's whole point is that if she still is Aster to ploni, that's not a residue or a vestige of Ishus. It has nothing to do with Ishus because the Isser is autonomous. I just haven't removed the heter of Basar Bechala from every person. According to Rabbi Elazar, it's autonomous. This makes it sound like that if the Isra'ishas Ish stems from the Ishus, then retaining some Isra'ishas Ish is retaining Ishus to Reuben. Eitan.
Yeah,
what Tosfot is saying, though, is a little bit different than what Rava was talking about.
Of course.
Because
continue.
He's talking about the starting of the Israelian nation.
Excellent. Say it better. In theory, you could.
In theory, you could argue that, according to Tosfot, Yisurei Eshet Ish begins because of Yishut, and then it has to be removed.
Very good. You don't have to independently affect both. You can just create the Ishus, and then the Isser will stem from it. But once it stems, it gets a life of its own. And even if the Ishus disappears in this miraculous vanishing act of Ishus, the Isser Ishus Ish will still remain as an independent body. Very good. So just because something is independent doesn't mean it has to be created independent. And in theory, moving over to get just because something's independent doesn't mean it has to be rejected independently. It could be that there are different ways to create and to remove, but it still has independence in the, at the core. Yes, Rafi.
Wouldn't Rabbi and Ezra agree that at some level these two elements are intertwined? Because you can get rid of, according to you, can get rid of the issues, but not the other issues. You can't get rid of the second one without the first.
Who says? Let's wait for Sunday.
There's no way she can still be married to him.
Who says?
Not be merged with
everyone else. Who says? Let's see. Let's wait for Sunday. That's our question. Rafi, you're very good. You're advancing into the next level. If they're really independent, can you have A without B and B without A? We already talked about A without B. What type of get did we ponder yesterday, Quantrib Eliezer? Right. Well, you're mater her for no one. Chutz me, af echad. And at least we saw the simple Gemara. It sounds like the isha grusha meisha leikacha. What's the lashon of Gemara? Afilo nisgarsha rak meisha. She's at least possible for a Kohen. What about the opposite way, Rafi? Can you have someone that is mutter to everyone but still is your wife? We'll see. Okay, you haven't been vatal the issues, you've created a heterosexual issue. Kobe.
He's explaining this Gemara is not that much of a problem, but he has it. Because he can say when it says kehakti, it doesn't mean it's tight.
Of course. And that's the first shot in Tosfos. Who wants to read the first shot in Tosfos? Kobe, take it away. First shot in Tosfos. Harem Mekudeshesli. The word li is an error. Most people take out the word li. Read Tosfos without the word li. Kolomar, lios. That when a person marries a woman, he's not making her his wife, and as a function, Eitan, the Isser comes. When a person marries his wife, he is. He's not miyachedes lo, and therefore she's Aser. He's making her directly Aser to everyone. Mekudeshes liolam. You're Aser to the world. Vishvili, because of what I'm doing to you now. Not because of our relationship. Compare the first line of Tosfos with the last line of Tosfos. Everyone look inside. Let's compare texts. Mekudeshes liolam bishvili, as opposed to bimadimis yachedes lios lo neseres lakol. You see the contrast? Bimadimis yachedes lios lo neseres. Isser stemming from Ishus. As opposed to a direct mikudeshes liolam bishvili. The second model is more directly parallel to Hekdesh. It's tighter cuff. The first model is just, no, the effects are the same effect. It's just like in Hekdesh. At some point, no one can use it. Similarly in Kiddusha, no one can marry her, but not through the same route. That's what we were saying before. So lo and behold, our question, our general question, is really two deos in Tosfos. So evidently it was a conversation in 70 AD between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim, and it was a conversation in 300 AD between Rav and Rav Hanuna, and it was a conversation in 1200 BCE between the two voices in this Tosfos. And they can all be separated. You can say one without the other, but you see the overlap of logic. Guys, that's what Lumbus presumes. The same conversations are taking place throughout the last 3,500 years. They may have different expressions. Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim were discussing, can you divorce your wife, chutz miploni? Rabbi Rabbi Luna were discussing, if Kiddushin can vanish, what can you assume about Hekdesh, for Ulus Halacha? Tosfos was discussing how to interpret the strange line, Asala Kuli Amaka Hekdesh. So they're discussing different things, right? But we all know it's the same conversation. And that's the unifying capacity of Lumbus, to take conversations that seem totally different and make them into the same conversation, just different manifestation. You could say one without the other, mark and cut one off from the other, but it's the same logic that's feeding these conversations. Mark.
Is it possible for, like, he tells us that both things are dependent, much like which is the controlling factor, essentially? Maybe the first one is saying the Isra, then three is the...
Maybe. That would be harder to say that, but in theory you could flip it around. It's a more extreme version. Okay, so let me blow your socks off. Okay. What does this conversation have to do with the following question? Hypothetically. Can Eliyahu's wife get married? Rabbi, what are you talking about? We're discussing Gerush and Chutz Miploni. You're asking me, can Eliyahu's wife get married? Well, that was a real question raised by the Trumas Hadeshin. Anyone know who the Trumas Hadeshin was? Rabbi Yisrael Isserlein, a Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam, lived in the end of the 14th century. Very famous fake tshuvos. In those days, you can only get money publishing svarim before printing presses in the 15th century were very expensive. And you only could get subsidies and grants if you wrote a sefer of tshuvos. If you wrote a sefer on Shas, no one was willing to support you. You wrote a sefer of Shavos for tshuvos, you got supported. So he ghostwrit all of his tshuvos. He wrote the shaylas to himself. Rabbi, what's your pshat in brachos daf hey? Oh, I'm happy you asked. Here it is. Rabbi, what do you think of the Tosfos and the Kesuvos daf? Oh, it's a really good question. Here's your answer. Yeah, money talks. So he asked the following question. Can you marry Eliyahu's wife? Who else never died? What? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Chanoch, okay, but that was before halacha set in, so it won't be so much of a question. Yaakov Lomais, but we have real documentation of his death. Who else has a documentation of not dying? Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi has some very interesting interactions with Eliyahu Navi about Mashiach to find where Mashiach was. He found him in Rome with covering his bandages with the paupers. But then the Malach HaMavis takes him into Olam, into Gan Eden. He wants to, Yeshua ben Levi wants the Malach HaMavis to show him his place in Gan Eden. They go together. And at that point, Yeshua ben Levi basically grabs the Malach HaMavis' knife and jumps into Gan Eden and takes the Shmua, then I will never leave Gan Eden. So the Malach HaMavis comes and complains to Hashem, because the Malach HaMavis is a Malach HaShari, he's not an evil Malach, he's a bus driver, takes people off to Shemayim. And Hashem says, well, did Rabbi Shua ben Levi ever violate a shvuah of his in this world? Malachim says, no. Well, then he gets the right to keep his shvuah in the next world. Talks about keeping your word in this life. You honor, you say something, fulfill it, carry through. So the Trumas Hadeshin wants to know, can these women, right, the supporting actresses, you know, everyone's paying attention to Eliyahu and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, what about their wives? What happened to them? Hello? Right, all the people, less like Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus' brothers, you know, all the people that don't get enough attention. She wants to get remarried. I know all this Eliyahu HaNavi stuff. Every Pesach will have a kosher Eliyahu, but I'm sitting here without a husband. And this is before a woman can earn a living. She just wants to get married. What's the core of this question? Can anyone dig to the core of this question and link it to our conversation? First dig, then link. Why should she be mutter? Why should she be aser? Just develop. Forget that you learned. Let's say we started shiur with this question. Yosef, dig to the core, independent, unrelated to getting.
Attached to the iser for the iser of...
You know, okay, is the iser ashes ish?
Yeah. Is if it's attached to ashes, then to she, then would it be able to... Then he would be, because now,
what happens when Eliyahu is no longer a man, when he's a malach?
Not
married. He can't be married to a malach. Right. So if her ishus fails, what should also dissipate? Isher ishus ish. Now give me the other side. If they are...
If they're disconnected, then she can lose the ishus, but she can still be ushered to everywhere.
When a person dies, very good, Yosef, so there's a... event, a break, that disrupts both Ishus and Ishus Ish. But what happens if there's no death? There's just a disappearing Ishus, or does he become a Malach? That's the Trumas Hadeshin's question. And his question is our question. Who would have thunk that the Machlokas Rav Eliezer and the Chachamim affects Eliyahu's wife? But that's what happens when you create categories to reflect positions. These categories become extrapolatable. You can then take the, oh, we now have defined Ishus, and we're discussing the interaction between the two. That will impact how closely affiliated Kiddushin is with Hekdesh. What we're really discussing, Yosef, and I jumped ahead just because I wanted to make it dramatic, is let's forget Elio for a moment. If we're trying to understand, follow my train of thought and fill in the sentences for me, how to understand the dynamic of Ishus, and that will affect the mechanics of Get, which is a dismantling of Ishus. It will also affect the mechanics of, what's the other way to dismantle Ishus? If Ishus and Ashus Ish are intertwined, Ashus Ish comes from Ishus, then Misa is just a vanishing of Ishus, and therefore a dissipation of Ashus Ish. If they're separate, then Misa has to be what? Not just the vanishing of Ishus, but has to be a... Say it loud though. No, it can't just vanish, but it has to be a... Give me a word.
Change.
Change. What do you call change in Hebrew? Matir. It has to be a matir. It has to be an act that directly removes. The act of Misa has to directly remove. So the real question is, how does Misa permit a woman to marry? Is it simply the Ishus disappears? And once the Ishus disappears, the Ishus Ish disappears? Or the act of Misa is defined by a Matir. It's Matir Ishus, it cancels Ishus, and it cancels Ishus Ish the same way that Gerushin addresses both. The Nafkamina now, Yosef, whether Misa is just the vanishing of Ishus or a Matir of Ishus is, what about someone who's not around without Misa? That person is Eliyahu HaNavi. Do you need an act of Misa to create? Okay, just to make it more dramatic. The act of Misa creates a fissure and everything disappears. Or the act of Misa just means the husband's no longer alive. What happens if you're no longer alive without dying? There's no event that ruptured the Ishus and ruptured the Ishus Ish. You're just not around. So all of a sudden, this whole conversation doesn't just affect Gittin or Kiddushin, it affects how we view the halachic process of Misa. Abi.
Shouldn't it be for both Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, they won't be allowed to be married?
Why? If you feel that it's connected to the Ishus, she's no longer married. You know, you can't be married to a malach. That's his premise. You could argue the point. Maybe you can be married to a malach. The premise of the Trumas Hadeshin is you can't be Ishus a malach. So when Eliyahu morphs into being a malach, there's no Ishus. No Ishus. Ishus Ish, if it's hinged upon, it just disappears. Whereas if they're separate, so okay, there's no Ishus, but there's still a residual Ishus Ish, and you can't marry. Okay? Tell me.
Isn't there
Alina or Gimel? Ah, very good. So now Shlomi's raising the following point. Shlomi, let me say it differently. The Gemara is a Hava Mina, striking, crazy, that Misa shouldn't create a release. A woman should be usher even after her husband dies. Is that Hava Mina more in sync with Reb Eliezer theory or Rabbanan theory? Where do you think Reb Eliezer got his svara from? The autonomy of Isser Ashus Ish and Ishus. Because he read Kiddushin, you're Gimel. And if you don't hold that they're autonomous, you're pulling your hair out, Shlomi. What is this Gemara even talking about? How do I know that Misa is Matir? Are you nuts? Of course it's Matir, because, Yosef, there's no longer any Ishus. And if there's no longer any Ishus, there's no longer any... What's the Gemara even probing? What, are you crazy? Kiddushin. Yud Gimel Amid Beis. Let's read it together. listening to all the pages opening while I WhatsApp you. Okay, Kedushin, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, here we go. Konis Asma Beget of Amisus Abal Bishlom Beget Dechsev. The Kasev La Sefer Krisus. El Amisus Abal Minolan. I imagine Rebbe Eliezer sitting by himself in Cherem, thinking about Gerushin Chutz Liploni, recognizing that the real solution to Gerushin Chutz Liploni is how I define this interaction. Thinking about this Gemara, he didn't have the Gemara, he lived in the days of the Tanaim, but thinking about this Limud that he had heard from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, saying, I remember Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, my Rebbe told me we need a pasuk to tell us that an alman is mutter, that Misa is a matir. If Eishes Ish is just a subsidiary of Ishus, who would need a pasuk? Must be it's separate. Oh, if it's separate, then I can get to be machshir Gerushin Chutz Liploni, because the krisus is just a question of the ishus, not of the Yisra'ish ish, which is separate. Could that have been Rabbi Eliezer's root? His logical root? Was it maybe when he thought about the Gemara Nidarim, something that Rava ultimately 300 years later said? Where did Rabbi Eliezer get his logic? What fired in his brain? Now, of course, he knew Shas so well that it was probably all of them together in a very, very instinctive, incoherent form. He just knew it all. Like, if I say, Shmuel Pearl, should we trade Nick Foles? Yeah, I don't know if you like the Eagles, but if I think about all the plays, and it's not like one particular play or something, it's like your general impression of him as a player or your favorite rock band and the type of music they play. It's like one chord of a specific song. It's their entire body of work. Imagine if every time you thought about every different note of Shas, you were thinking about all of Shas in the background. And you render your decisions based on that holistic knowledge of everything. Or far more than we'll ever know. And that's why Lamedus is so important, because you're connecting notes. And that's the way they knew Shas. They didn't read in their 48-minute class in TABC or Kohelet, let's read one line and try to make sense of that line. They brought an overarching knowledge of the entire system. And it was holistic and coherent. They were thinking about, imagine one of these 3D boards. You've got nodes connect here, rather than a blackboard. You're just making the system work. But then the Gemara chimes in. What's the Gemara's response? Kedushin, Minalan, Svarahu. Who can read the next four words? Who? What may that mean? When the Gemara retorts, it should be obvious, Braino. What may that retort reflect? Why is it obvious? Anti-Rabbalasa. Of course, it should be obvious. She's no longer married to the guy because he's dead. If there's no Ishus, there's no Ishus Ish. Look at Rashi. Rashi, Dibra Maschel. Did I give you Rashi here? I'll give you another one, Rashi. As I cut it off, look at the lesson of Rashi. V'hu Sharila. Anyone read Rashi once you get it? What does that sound like? That the Isser Eishes Ish? Bohai Zakshira. It comes from the Kesher, and there's no longer a Kesher. Mark, that's not the simple way to read the Gemara. What's the language of the Gemara? Look at the language. Hu Asra Vehu Sharta. Does that make it sound like the Isser Eishes Ish vanishes once the Ishus vanishes? Or... maybe, but more fundamentally, that just like he made her usher by marrying her, he makes her by dying. That dying is an act of release, not just the vanishing Ishus and the vanishing Isser. You see the offset between the language of the Gemara and what Rashi says? The Gemara sounds like it's saying, you're right! Ishus Ish is separate and needs a separate act to remove it. But we have it. It's called Nisa. Who Asra, Kedushin, 5 years ago. 50 years ago, whatever. Hu sharta. He dies, now he releases him. Hu asra, hu sharta. He does the first, he does the second. First he marries, then he croaks. And croaking is an act of releasing. Because you're right, they're autonomous. And they need to be removed through an act. But we have an act. Well, she slips in a little phrase. Sherei bohei sakshura. The whole thing started with the kesher. Now he's no longer around. Whether he dies or not, he's not here. Elio, wife, Mrs. Elio. And the Gemara continues. I'm not going to read the whole Gemara because we're running out of time. But it's pretty clear that when they had this Gemara conversation, whatever Bate Medrash they had it, that's what they were talking about. Is Misa a matir or is Misa just the absence of Ishus? We all know the conclusion, a woman's mutter after Misa. So what does that tell us about Kiddush? Is she mutter because once the Ishus disappears, there's no longer an Issa? Or is it mutter because we now discovered a new act as mater? There's something called Gerushin and something called Misa. Let's say you're learning Maseches Yevamos. So you can imagine this is an interesting conversation to have before you start the whole Yevamos conversation as a pre-conversation. You see now how day two we're already talking about Hashem's definition of Ishus? We're not talking about Reb Elezer the Chachamim necessarily. We're talking about deconstructing Ishus into its constituent components and understanding their interaction. And that conversation hovers above so many different locations in Shas. Gerushin Chutz Miploni. The association with Hekdesh. The language of Hekdesh. The mechanism of Misa. And if we knew Shas really well, we could probably explore it through Yevamos. Okay. So I told you we'll stop at 10:15, so we're going to stop at 10:15, 10:17. We still have to get to Reb Eliezer and Meshim Ben Elazar. Remember, she marries Shimon, not Ploni, and then when Shimon dies or divorces her, she can go back to Ploni. And Meshim Ben Elazar didn't like that. Ze Oser v'ze Matir, how could one person make an Isser and another person make a Heter? Can anyone respond now and defend Reb Eliezer? Right, and if they're independent, they may not be personalized. And that's something you have to think about. How personalized is the Isser Ishus? Is it Isser Ishus Ishus of Mrs. Daniel Voderman? It's the Ishus Ishus of Daniel? Or she's Basa B'chalef? And therefore, it's not a question of who made it and who didn't make it. It's not my Isser that you can't remove and your Isser that I can't remove. It's an objective fact. Has nothing to do with the original author. So we're going to try to wheedle our way to that question, and then, Rafi, we'll get to your question. Can you marry? Can you divorce a wife without making her mutter, or can you divorce a wife by still being married to her? Show me. Can you hear what? Only because the same structures are at play, where you could be downgrading from one layer to another layer. But obviously, as Rava pointed out to Rav Hamluna, you can't assume that just because they're structurally parallel, they're exactly the same. I can make two buildings and make two floors and make certain steel, but in this building, we're going to have these curves and these angles. So you can train your mind to see certain repeating patterns, but each pattern is going to be very context specific, and therefore, you can't assume. Okay? Tonight, Tish at my house, assuming I can stay awake. Tish at my house after dinner, okay? I'm going to have one of the madrichim take you, please. Just guys for a second. I'm providing all 3 points. Number one, please assemble after dinner. And I'll ask David Rockman to bring you over the house one more time with chairs. Number two, I'm going to be making, hopefully, some food. And the yeshiva is going to send its famous gush corn. But we always ask boys to supplement with your own if you like. If you're going to be shopping today, if you're in Yerushalayim, we love some ragalach, that's always good, some garinim, so please feel free to increase the spirit of the tish tonight, okay? If you're eating out, is anyone eating out tonight? Okay, everyone's eating in yeshiva. If you're eating out, please find out where I live beforehand, and I'll tell you, you can WhatsApp me, I'll send you the location, and then you can come after your meal at someone's house. Have a good Shabbos, travel safe, and who's going to Yerushalayim, everyone? Okay, enjoy your trip to Yerushalayim. See you guys later at davening, okay? Favorite part of yeshiva is Kabbalah Shabbos, everyone together. Enjoy Yerushalayim. You're welcome. Rafi, good point. We'll get to it on Sunday. Day two, we're already at like the belly of the beast.
Yeah, yeah,
thank you, Rabbi.
Good read of the Gemara Kiddushin. Good read. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos, Tani. So now you see what Lamedus does.
Okay.
Yechap, Yossi, yechap it?
Yeah.
You see how all of a sudden it gets larger than any one conversation?
What's still bothering me, though, is the Yad Ramah and how that Kiddushin could happen.
Gerushin. It's a Gerushin, not a Kiddushin.
How the Gerushin could happen and then the Kiddushin could happen.
It's a very, very deep concept about Kiddushin. There's a regenerative capacity to Kiddushin. Now keep that at Yad Ramah.
And then the Easter is never fully.
Yeah. Keep that in your memory palace. And you'll spend the next 50 years of your life learning the Ian.
I was in the bathroom and then I started thinking about the
These are very, 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 very deep concepts about Kiddushin. That's why I didn't go into it, because these are, we're exploring two layers down.
Yeah.
I mentioned it's digging deeper, but that you need to have more information. You need some other cases of Kiddushin, find some cases that would prove it.
Mm-hmm. And then the whole, because I was thinking about the different speaking, and like, Jeremy Don spoke about the Nisuin and the Kiddushin and like the bringing into the house and how Gerushin also we have the two things and the two
Right. Right. Well, we'll discuss that when we get to Gerushin. Basically, the contractual and the demonstrative. There's a contractual element, just giving her the bill of divorce, but then there's the demonstrative of, symbolically.
Also, I was thinking about the issue I just had with Kritut is that it says V'chatav La Sefer Kritut, which I felt like that what's supposed to be Kritut is how I got Rav Elazar. Originally, is that the process has to be finishing. So it's okay if you have this Elul Ploni because the whole process of the Gerushin is still over with just kind of this like extra part that was.
Okay. We'll discuss that on Pei Gimel Amud Beis. If a man tells a woman, you're divorced in the condition you can't drink wine ever, that's the Chisaron and Krisis, which even Rabbi Eliezer buys into.
Exactly.
But if he says you can't drink wine for 30 days, then that's Krisis, because in 30 days.
Exactly, because then the process is finished.
Okay, so let's wait till we see that tomorrow. We have more. Again, what we're trying to do in the Shir is these ideas can fire in your head and lead to speculation, but you need more data points to make more concrete statements.
Yeah.
So we now have assembled 6 or 7 data points. We can at least talk cogently about this issue. Your issue will need more data points to get to. Okay. That's why learning is so scientific. It's just basically taking cases and trying to associate them and draw the logic out, rather than just learning machshava about the meaning of God and the meaning of the world. These may be important issues, but who knows? Like, we don't know Olam Haba, we don't know Shemayim. These are things we can ground ourselves because they're empirical.
Mm-hmm.
They're not conclusive, but they're at least database. Okay. Have a good chance. Go to Shalayim.
No, because I was there yesterday, so today I'll hopefully get to see some of them in the car.
Okay. See you later, Yossi.
Shabbat shalom.